31. On the Absolution. Vi watches Cardinal to gauge his reaction. She's maybe embroidered what Siv told her just a little, but that's the storyteller's gift, isn't it? To take a seed and spin it into a flower of untold beauty, glistening with dew? Cardinal did say he wanted to know everything, and she gave him everything. She needed to buy herself some time, and she's done that. And she never lied. Everything she said was true. Mostly. And since she has an eidetic memory, she knows exactly which parts she embellished. It's worked, though. Time has passed. She's gotten a little stronger. And as for Cardinal, he's trying to hide that the story has affected him. I know this is a lot to take in, Vi says, her voice even and calm and low.
Do you really think she's still capable of tears? He asks.
I'd like to think she's still human under that armor. Or that at least she was then. The hollow shows her shaking as she watched Brendel ravage her planet. Cardinal looks off into space and smiles.
I remember the child. Showed up in the youth barracks a few days later, still pink from the radiation, although the med bay cleared her. She did well. UV-8855. They called her War Cry because she couldn't stop herself from shouting during every fight. The little ones and their nicknames. When she was old enough, I graduated her. A year ago, just about. I passed her directly into Phasma's hands. I wonder if they recognized each other.
He's so still that Vi knows he's working through some deep feelings. She doesn't want to lose him, though. She needs to keep steering him, steering the story. The less he thinks about the remote and about Ba'ako, the better. Her name is still Phasma, and she's still the tallest person around. Kind of hard to miss. But you can't feel bad about it. Frey was just another kid who would have died on a crap planet anyway. For the first time, Cardinal's head falls forward into his hands, his hair sweaty and mussed. He's been running his fingers through it again and again, making it stand up in whorls. He looks, well, more broken than stormtroopers are supposed to be. Why would Brendel order such a senseless massacre? The First Order's purpose is to bring stability and peace to the galaxy. I've been on missions and I've followed orders, but the people of Parnassus weren't in rebellion. They weren't even given a chance to cooperate. Vi shakes her head sadly. Sorry, but you're the only one here who's not playing dirty. The First Order goes to planets and they steal children and they subsume resources. I guess that way up here you can't see what's going on down below. Do you ever leave this bucket? Take an R&R on some quiet moon with umbrellas in the drinks? Of course not. Not since Brendel died. My duty is here. I train the children. And now you know who you're training them for. Cardinal stands and paces.
General Hux was my mentor, my superior.
Yeah, well, much like everyone else in this story, Brendel Hux was a liar. Without being asked, Cardinal brings her water, helps her drink it. His hands are shaking, she notes. He can't quite meet her eyes just now. Whether he can't handle her truth or he's planning his next move, she doesn't know. She still hasn't given him what he needs. For a strong and steady man, a man who's nearly had the emotions programmed out of him, he carries himself gently. As a spy, Vi has delivered a lot of intel to a lot of people, and it just takes them this way sometimes. As if they wish they could curl into themselves and deny something they always suspected deep down. Something they now know is true, but they aren't quite ready to face.
How do you know all this? He asks, voice rough. How do you know Brendel is dead? That's one of the most closely guarded secrets in the First Order. Outside of this ship, official word is that he's on a long-term mission.
But you know he's dead. And not just because Armitage told you and 10,000 of your friends. Cardinal snorts like she's a fool.
I was his personal guard. He hand-picked me on Jakku, trained me himself. I was infinitely loyal. From the time I first put on this armor, he trusted me to keep him safe.
He holds up his arm, displaying the flawless red.
He designed it himself because he said red was a color of power. Every moment he spent in my company, he knew he was safe.
But what about when he left your company? Vi presses.
Did he say nothing about his time on Parnassus?
Vi is genuinely curious, and the interrogation is starting to feel more like two people of like minds colluding.
Almost nothing. When they arrived, Brendel looked half dead and Phasma ridiculous, in poorly fitting armor, badly stained and blasted and hung all over with primitive weapons. It was just the two of them, and the child, but she needed longer in the medbay, so I didn't meet her until later. None of Brendel's troopers survived. They were my friends, trained alongside me. At the time, we were told they'd perished in the crash, shot down by enemy craft. I felt terrible that I hadn't been with Brendel, and the fact that Phasma was there with him instead, well, I felt like I had failed him somehow. I was terrified that I was being replaced. I guess I don't have anything to lose now telling you that, do I?
Vi shakes her head and does her best to look empathetic, to draw the truth out of him with her silence. From what she's learned of the First Order, they aren't big on sharing weaknesses and talking about feelings. This is a tricky role, but one she is accustomed to playing.
With Brendel as her champion, she was welcomed into the First Order, he continues, looking off into the dead air of the small space. I trained her as he asked, and then they gave her a captain's cape of her own, and suddenly my own cape didn't mean as much. Brendel gave me this armor, and a year later she was wearing her chrome armor. I still don't know how or where she got it. Brendel claimed he didn't know, but he had that smile about him. She became their darling, their poster child, their legend. And even though I resented her, I believed it. That she was as great as they proclaimed her to be, but she was always so quiet, so enigmatic. And then I began doubting. And now here you come with this story. Is Siv really alive after that?
Vi smiles gently, the band across her forehead creaking as she inadvertently leans forward as if to... what? Conspire? Comfort? Siv lives, as does her child. The rest of them are gone.
But how?
Calliope Station was made to withstand anything, and it had already survived one radioactive event. She felt the hallway shake, but the Gand had told her to keep walking, so she got up and kept walking right into the medbay. The Skyre breeds tough people. Even on her own, Siv was determined to live and to raise her child. Vi grins, a real smile this time. Beautiful kid. Has Siv's skin and Torben's eyes. Can scream loud enough to stun a Wookiee. Anyway, Siv was smart enough to close the blast door, and the station got some new scars on its white walls. She's been through a lot. Still has lots of scars of her own. Not that there's anyone around to see them. Vi tries to lift her arm to scratch her nose, but it's just as pinned down as ever. She had forgotten, with the informality of their conversation, that she's still in the interrogation chair, the remote for which sits on the table like a forgotten Pazak deck, and one stacked against her.
But you saw her, Cardinal muses.
I scared the hell out of her. She hasn't been outside in 10 years. She's worried the radiation might harm Torby. Whatever caused the explosion, it turns out the rest of the station was running just fine, and the droids are more than happy to help her. Siv has a full complement of helpful servants and enough food to feed an army for a century. They've been there for 10 years without seeing a single soul. She was so glad to see me, her story practically fell out of her.
Then why do you look troubled on her behalf? It sounds as if you got what you went there for.
Now it's her turn to look away. I told Siv I'd come back.
My Starhopper, well, I'm sure your troops have turned it into component parts by now.
I couldn't fit 2 passengers on that thing, much less 3. So I promised Siv that I would come back and help her and her daughter rejoin civilization. I didn't tell...
Cardinal perks up. Tell whom?
Vi sighs. I didn't tell my superiors about that part. That poor woman will be listening for engines every day, waiting for a better life for her child than biding her time on a dead planet.
I don't mind telling people they're screwed, but I hate giving anyone false hope. He's suddenly in her face, bawling his fist in her shirt.
Stop that. Your guilt is not my problem. We're running out of time. You said you had intel to help me take Phasma down, and you're still holding it back.
Iris beeps a warning, and Vi looks down at his hand and back up at his face. You can let go of me first. He releases her shirt and backs away sheepishly. Maybe he's not used to losing control like that. Iris floats back to bob between them, as if reminding Cardinal that he must keep his distance. This is the first interrogation where Vi hasn't taken a single punch, which says something else about her enemy. He might have shocked her a few times, but he's still ashamed for grabbing her like that, droid reprimand or no. That kind of touch, that kind of rage, is simply too personal. He's right, though. This thing she knows about Phasma? It's a doozy. She's been holding it back, but she feels it's finally time for the big reveal. He's as open as he's ever going to be, and if she continues to defy him, she'll lose him completely. She takes a deep breath and meets his eyes, commanding his full attention. What did they tell you about Brendel's death? What's the official word? He sits again, leans forward avidly like it's his favorite part of the story. But his eyes suggest it's going to be the worst part.
Unknown malady. I saw him that morning. He didn't look good. Like maybe he was coming down with something. He was too pale. I suggested he hit the med bay, have the droids check him out.
And what did Brendel say to that? Cardinal's smile suggests he might have once been a mischievous boy. He told me to mind my own business and respect my superiors. But he went. He was like that. Followed good advice, but put you down so you didn't think it was your idea. And then you never saw him again. Cardinal doesn't answer, just stares at the floor. Vi licks her lips. They're dry again. Tell me then, Cardinal. That last morning, did he look a bit swollen? Cardinal shrugs.
Sure, but he always looked a bit puffy after a night at the officer's mess. Wasn't the healthiest of men, and he was getting into his 60s then. I didn't expect him to look the picture of health.
But you never looked up his records? Cardinal is up and pacing again, and Vi realizes that when it comes to Brendel Hux, he's a raw nerve, utterly unschooled in concealing his moods or his tells. This is what he does when he's truly upset. He can't stop from moving, can't contain his nervous energy.
That's not how things are done in the First Order. I can't just go to records and ask for details, or to the med bay and have a private chat with the droids.
You can politely inquire of your superiors once, but ask a second time and they get suspicious. They called an assembly, and I was standing at the head of 10,000 troops in perfect formation when Armitage Hux put his hat under his arm and told us all that his father had passed on.
Didn't even tell you privately.
Huh. Vi tries not to look too smug. And you didn't ask for details. They really do have you trained well.
Cardinal grabs the manacles around her upper arms and shakes the whole contraption, rattling Vi's skull and turning her legs into jelly.
Of course I asked for details. An unknown malady, that's all they would say.
He pulls away and clears his throat. Must have been something he picked up on one of his planetary visits. The med droids had never seen anything like it, had no records of similar symptoms in their data drives. A complete mystery.
Just be glad I hadn't gotten it too, they said.
Well, I guess our slicers are better at solving mysteries than yours are, because they managed to get a hold of an old medical droid and unscramble its data.
Let me tell you the symptoms that led to Brendel Hux's demise. First, he complained of a tiny bump on his neck, just under his collar, the skin red and hot and hard. Thought it might be a cyst or possibly a bite from some strange and unfamiliar creature. The med droids couldn't find anything unusual. Then Brendel started to puff up. His skin became swollen, his eyes began to bulge, and his hair fell out, and his fingernails popped off. He complained that he felt disoriented and weak. His skin became pale and thin and translucent, and then, floating in a Bacta tank in the med bay,
no!
He just sort of dissolved into the liquid, leaving behind only a few shrunken organs, bare bones, and a patch of graying red hair.
So you're saying that Phasma brought one of those beetles from Parnassus? That she what? Planted it on Brendel?
Vi raises an eyebrow and desperately wishes she could cock her head at him. She hates when smart people play dumb.
Unless you know another way that people casually turn into big bags full of water and explode.
But this is Captain Phasma we're talking about.
Why would she kill General Hux? He was her savior, her superior. He made her what she was.
Vi shakes and slams within her restraints, wishing she could get out and rough this idiot up a little for being so naive.
Why? Because as far as she knew, Siv was dead, and Brendel was the last person who knew about her humble beginnings. The last one who knew her history. Brendel watched her betray her leader, fight her people, murder her own brother in cold blood. Brendel was the only witness to her crimes, the only witness in the entire galaxy who knew that she wasn't the perfect soldier poster child for this lockstep hellscape you call the First Order. She needed him, though, for a while. Needed him to bring her back here to your floating paradise and tell everyone of her bravery, her strength, her resilience, her prowess. Needed him to think that he was her vaunted patron and mentor and that she was his simple weapon. Needed to use him like a whetstone as she rose through the ranks, just as he'd foretold. And then one day, when he'd forgotten she wasn't merely a leashed wolf, she flicked that beetle into his jacket and walked away. The perfect crime. He's somewhere behind her now. Maybe he's leaning against the wall. Maybe he's in a ball on the floor. She doesn't know. She wishes she could see his face, see how he's taking it. See if he's thinking about picking up the remote again. For all that he's shown some rudimentary kindness, giving her water and food, and for all that the vitamin packs and stims helped a little, she can feel the damage in her body. Nerves burnt and muscles unable to loosen up. When he lets her out, if he lives up to their bargain and lets her out, she may very well fall flat on her face, unable even to crawl away. And that's the best-case scenario. For all she knows, he could still just shock her to death and be done with it. Because the truth of it is this. There is no physical evidence. That beetle is long gone. Phasma made sure of that. But what about Frey? She was a witness, too. She died 6 months ago in a training exercise. Weapon malfunction. Or at least that's how Phasma recorded it. Phasma is very good at getting rid of witnesses.
For several long moments, he was silent.
Does Armitage know about Brendel?
It comes out in a flat voice from somewhere behind her.
I don't know what Armitage knows. I just know what was stricken from the original medbay records, which is a list of symptoms leading up to his death in the Bacta tank. As you know, the official cause of death was recorded as malady unknown.
And you're sure?
I'm strapped into an interrogation chair with an angry man. This is as sure as I get.
I'm sorry about this.
Vi tries to whip her head around, but can't.
Sorry about what? You don't need to do anything you'll be sorry for.
The next thing she knows, electricity is coursing through her body, slamming her teeth together and making bright red starbursts behind her eyelids. Vi Marotti goes unconscious.